Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. And now, Marcia Pilgrim continues the story of Office Wife.
For the first time in my life, I'm beginning to realize you can't push the ugly things into the background. You have to face them sooner or later. And if you make it later, you pay for it. I know now what I brought about through my unforgivable jealousy. That I tried to hang on to Jeff by any means I could, even when it meant stooping to deception and treachery. But not anymore. Jeff can't get on, not in this town anyway, until the Bendigo Ford is cleared up properly. So now, as late as this, it seems we just have to rake everything up that's happened in the past and get Harry Palmer convicted by hook or by crook. It'll mean washing a lot of scrubby linen, and some of the papers are going to love it. But I've only myself to blame.
It's settled, then, is it, Marcia?
Yes, I'll do anything you say. Oh, Jeff, I'm so terribly sorry. If only I'd been more open with you...
I think I said once before, it's too late for tears.
You'll never forgive me, will you?
For throwing me to the dogs in the first place? Yes. You only thought the same as everyone in town but Stella. But to promise to let Palmer off just so she could blot Stella's copybook... That, honey, really takes the bun. Don't you think?
Oh, Jeff, don't laugh at me for it, please.
Why not? I've taken things too darn seriously all my life. When you started acting up over Stella in the first place, I should have laughed at you and let you have her fired. But oh, no. I had to get up on my high horse and go all mad with the rectitude. And then, when you professed to believe I was an embezzler, I should have laughed a bit more, told you not to be silly, and shoved you over my knee.
Oh, Jeff, if only you had.
Yes, if only. But instead of that, I went about in a huff and told myself how badly I'd been treated. That's been the attitude, and I can see I must have looked pretty stuffy. Too darn good to be true, sort of thing.
I never want you to change.
But I already have. I've made Stella understand, and you may as well, too. From now on, I'm wearing my halo with a good, sharp rake. What's the time?
No, just on 10.
I better be off. I'll ring you in the morning after I've been in touch with Angela, and we'll go to police headquarters together.
All right. I'll be here waiting. I'll see you out to the car. You didn't have a hat, did you?
No, no hat.
Jeff, when you come here and go away and leave me alone, Look, darling, won't there ever be any chance of us getting together again?
Oh, hang it. Marcia, you should have a pretty good idea.
Don't you still love me a little? Jeff, I've never done anything out of malice. It's always been because I loved you, and I was crazy with jealousy.
You weren't running about with Palmer out of jealousy, Marcia.
You'll throw that at me till I die, won't you?
No, please, girl, let's not beat our brains out over it. Let's fix Palmer before we try straightening ourselves out. Right, Marcia, you'll get over it.
Good night, darling. Oh, just a minute. Get your arm away from the wheel.
Now, what's wrong?
The point of your collar's all twisted up. Ah, that's better. Right. If I can't kiss you any other way, I can still steal them. Have I forgotten how?
Things are getting tough when you have to pinch kisses from your own husband.
Who's that?
It's all right. It's only me, Palmer. I've been waiting for Jeff to go.
What do you want?
A very serious word or two with you, Marcia.
Yeah, I won't talk to you. The girl will.
Don't be in such a hurry.
No. Let me go. Let my arm go.
Alice, let me take a minute. You wouldn't let anyone talk you into breaking your promise, would you, Marcia?
Harry, let me go.
Answer me. Would you?
Well, what if I did?
I saw that touching little scene just then, and I'm glad I did. How would you like it if stories started circulating about you and me?
What sort of stories?
Stories Jeff would be bound to hear. Stories that would make him wipe your kisses off, if he ever came near you at all.
Palmer, you're...
Never mind what I am.
You couldn't spread filthy lies around. They'd be utter lies.
You're a pretty girl, Marcia. And you don't look a scrap cold. People love to believe the worst, darling.
Oh, you rotten heel.
Say that. Jeff might come round to forgiving you for a lot of things. But when he starts remembering how much you and I used to see of each other...
Don't get away from here, Palmer. Get away, you... You loathsome wretch.
All right. But your promise to me is one I expect you to keep. And if I ever do stand up in court, you know what to expect. You've only half a divorce. I could spin some yarns that have put you in a very murky light. Think it over, darling. I mean what I say.
Will you all come in now, please? I'm sorry to keep you waiting. Sort yourselves out. We can all find a chair, I think. Now then. Mr. Pilgrim?
That's right. And this is Mrs. Pilgrim and Mrs. Angela Tennant.
And I'm Inspector James. Well, first of all, I've read the statement setting out your case in brief, and I'll run through it. It seems that Mrs. Tennant here wants this chap Palmer arrested for attempted murder.
That's correct, Inspector.
And you, Mr. Pilgrim, have information that Palmer swindled Tressida Bendigo and Company of various sums. The first about 18 months ago, and the second of £2,000 quite recently.
That is so, yes.
And from what I can make of it, the attempted murder is tied up with the embezzlement.
He tried to kill Mrs. Tennant because she knew too much.
And then there's the third charge, that Palmer was guilty of criminal negligence contributing to the death of Tressida Bendigo, your uncle, Mrs. Pilgrim.
Yes. Angela knows exactly what he did.
Angela?
Mrs. Tennant.
I see. And you, Mr. Pilgrim, were arrested and tried for the embezzlement and acquitted. And this Harry Jefferson Palmer conspired to have you falsely accused.
That's a matter of record, Inspector.
Matter of fact, I remember the case. Well, before we start delving into this morass of charges, they add up to quite a list, don't they? One question presents itself rather forcibly. Here you three people are, apparently armed with enough facts to get Palmer tried for his life. The first fraud was committed a year and a half ago, the attempted murder of Mrs. Tennant 5 months ago, and the second fraud about 6 weeks back. Now then, what's been holding you up?
Well, that's a rather long story.
I'll bet it is.
We've had no absolute proof.
Of the fraud or the murder attempt? You see, when people hesitate about coming to the police after someone's tried to kill them, it makes us think.
We've had good reasons for not...
No one can have good reasons for beating about the bush in a murder charge. We'll come to that later. Now then, let's get going. We'll take you first, Mr. Pilgrim, if the ladies will wait outside. By the way, where can we pick up this fellow Palmer if we want him?
He's got himself a job as a sales manager in some hole and corner place. Let me think. The Alphabet Novelty Company, I think it is. Pin machines and so on.
All right. Excuse me, will you? Would you push that phone over, Mr. Pilgrim? Thanks. Sergeant? Fire away on that fellow, will you? The Alphabet Novelty Company. What? You've got a phone book, haven't you? Look it up yourself. Now, begin at the beginning, Mr. Pilgrim, and I may as well warn you, there's a lot about this matter I don't like at all. So let's have it. How did Palmer go about his first book? Yes, Mr. Palmer. Very kind of you to come along.
Oh, I always try to cooperate with the police force, Inspector.
My name's James. Sit down.
Thank you.
You can smoke if you want to. I saw some friends of yours today. Had quite a long chat with them, in fact.
Well, that's so.
Do you know a chap called Jeff Pilgrim?
Certainly I do. There was a time when I thought he was a friend of mine, but that was quite a while back.
What about Mrs. Pilgrim?
Marcia? Yes, I know her. Very well.
Then there's a Mrs. Angela Tennant.
Yes, I know her too. I say, Inspector, what gives? Oh, I don't mind giving up my time to help you people out, but... Well, exactly what's going on?
We'll come to that in a moment. You had a pretty bad smash in your car a few months ago, didn't you?
I never want another one like it. I damn near killed myself.
Yourself?
Don't you read the newspapers?
I occasionally get more interesting things to read. Such as this report on the accident. What was the game that night, Mr. Palmer? Do you always drive round the suburbs at 75 miles an hour?
I was in a hurry.
To do what?
Now, just a minute. I've just about had enough of this. I drop what I'm doing at the office to come round and see you. I cancel two urgent appointments, and for what? Just so as you can indulge yourself with a lot of cryptic remarks. Well, I've no more time to waste. I want to know now, what's the idea of all this humbug about the pilgrims and Angela Tennant?
The idea, Mr. Palmer, is this. I'd like you to tell me why you tried to kill Angela Tennant. And I may as well warn you, you'd better be very careful what you say. All right? Let's hear from you.
So, the axe has fallen at last. Well, I can still make a fight of it. There's still the job of proving anything. And whichever way it goes, win, lose, or draw, I'll make Marcia pay for this. Maybe I am done for. But before I'm finished, she'll be, too.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.